beyond the ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Yes, we've all been stuck behind you, sir, wondering aloud, is he going to turn here? No. Maybe the next? No. Then maybe, no.
You're gonna cause a five-car pileup.
Perhaps, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On, you are simply on a personal mission to drive around the entire globe slightly to the left.
I'd honk my horn, but you wouldn't notice.
Apparently, you don't notice anything.
Maybe you'll notice this obscene gesture, yay.
You believe a left turn signal should be left on, and your right turn signal feels so right, you never shut it off. And so we dub you, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On, a real American hero.
Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Oh, he must be turning here. Nope. Oh, here. No.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, February 22nd. And both your humble servants are here this morning, although we're tired. Good morning, Kira.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Good. Looking as beautiful as ever today. Full
Thank
makeup
you.
And new dress and everything.
Just for you.
Just for me.
Just
wow.
For me. I knew
I am so flattered. I'm telling you.
I woke up. I said, you know what? Sam deserves this for once.
Yeah.
He deserves a co-host that he can look at.
He deserves a good sight in the morning.
That looks like a human. No, actually, I've got a... It's like sometimes if I just get ready in the morning, I know that if I need to leave and do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, yesterday I came in looking like roadkill, which is normal. It's, you know, hair had some brush in it. I think I had a brush still in it. I had like a dress shirt on, but then I had workout shorts on and then gym shorts. And then I had a – anyway, whatever. My point is I looked homeless, which is whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mary and Kate and Ashley do it, so I figured I could too.
And I'm stuck having to look at it.
And
all
he just has to look at it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, because I'm going to run home and I'm going to do other things and I'm not going to be out and about. Well, I forgot my house keys, so I couldn't get in my apartment.
Wow.
And my roommates were both gone. And then I had money that I needed to get that was at home, so I didn't have any money on me.
Wow, that's.
And then I needed to pay my cell phone bill.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday was the day to pay it.
Right.
Because it was going to get turned off. And I was going to pay it yesterday, which I did pay it yesterday, but I didn't pay it in time, so it got suspended.
Really? Oh,
so
wow.
So I get home. I can't get in. I don't have any
no
cash.
Phone.
I don't have any money on me.
Wow.
My cell phone gets turned off. And and I look homeless.
Did you have a car?
Yes, and I looked homeless. So I figured, you know what? It's better just to get ready. If you get stuck or you have to run errands or something, you don't have to like feel that way.
Yeah. How can you leave the house without your key, Kara?
Dude, I've done it all a million times.
Yeah.
You just get running around. You just don't think about it.
Yeah, but I mean, why don't you keep it with your car keys? Then you don't forget it.
Well, no, I mean, it's funny because we have a new roommate, and I actually gave her my keys, and I got some spares, and so my keychain with everything, she's using it now, and I just haven't got it back from her, and it's just no big deal. So I've just went ahead and used something new, and it's working out fine.
So what happened? I mean, so how did?
Yeah, they were home like an hour later. I went to Starbucks.
Oh, I see.
I went to Starbucks
okay.
and did some work.
I see. Okay.
I found like $3. I got a spinach feta wrap.
Cool. So do you ever go to Starbucks without buying anything, just to sit there with the computer?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I have. I think I probably have before.
Right.
Like if I need to run in real, like I'm on the road, and I need real quick run in and check something. I need Wi-Fi.
Right.
But not really. No.
No
I mean,
no.
I love their coffee.
Yeah. They don't charge for Wi-Fi anymore, do they?
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
It's 2011. You're not supposed to charge for that.
But you know what? I'm really happy that they're getting screwed now. I got to tell you.
What do you mean?
There's a Starbucks near my house.
Which one?
and on Ventura Boulevard, right near Woodman.
Yeah, that's I used to go to that one.
Okay, and that one has like a huge like outside area. It used to be full all the time with people.
Yeah.
Now it's empty because they don't let you smoke anymore.
Oh.
So nobody smokes there. No, I mean, nobody goes there.
Mm.
You know, and I'm happy about that because they can go and kiss my ass if they want. If they think they're going to isolate all the people. I mean, that's why people go there to drink coffee and sit outside just so they can have a cigarette with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand other people that don't want to walk through a gauntlet of smoke and shit. But at the same time, you know, I mean, you can't alienate half of your fucking customers.
Mm.
So, I hope they fucking close it down. I hope they learn their lesson.
Really? Tell us how you really feel, Sam.
No, because this is an area where you get a lot of Europeans and Middle Eastern people and stuff like that, and they smoke, you know?
Mm.
So...
I kind of understand, but see, it's like two different wars.
It's the same war,
but two different sides. It's like, yeah. I'm on the non-smoking side. It's totally in my best interest for you guys to just stop.
Right.
And it's really in your best interest to stop as well.
Yeah.
I don't believe you should make those choices for other people. That's their own choice to make.
Right.
But it's really where are the lines drawn? Where is your smoking infringement on someone else? Like, where does that happen?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're outside, is it a big deal? I generally don't notice it that much.
Right.
But
yeah.
I have been on patios where they're kind of covered.
Right.
And like I told you that
yeah,
one time.
Yeah, that you should people should not smoke there at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, like the
know?
Lady at the restaurant, the manager, she was like, "Well, we'd have to open up the whole patio."
Right.
If you didn't want if the smoke's bothering you. I'm
really?
Like I'm like so it's I'm the bad guy now cuz
right,
I don't want to inhale
right.
their freaking smoke.
You're absolutely right.
I was so pissed and yeah. it was like I'm uncomfortable.
I think if it's covered they shouldn't let you smoke.
No, cuz it's indoor. It's
yeah,
not it's
it
not
is.
An outdoor seating. As long as it's covered they shouldn't be smoking. This
right.
is a no-brainer and it's illegal actually in the state
yeah.
of California. So but I didn't want to just keep going on it. But
yeah.
if it's huge
I agree.
If it's huge and you know, there's a lot of space. Like that area, I don't really know why they would do that because it's a very big open patio.
Yeah, well, they did it because it's a company-wide type of a policy, you know, so...
But are they sticking to it? Because I know a lot of people that still smoke out there.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen people smoke at Starbucks anymore.
Really? I do.
Yeah. Really? Wow, that's interesting because, it's a company-wide policy, I believe, because they have, like, they made stickers that say Starbucks is a smoke-free... establishment or whatever.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they've got that. They're doing it now where a friend of mine, she works in like a strip area, strip center area,
mm-hmm.
not strippers, but
right. strip mall.
Thank
yeah.
you. You know, same thing. So strip mall area where it's several different businesses and there's a bunch of outdoor patios with a little bit of a little fountain area and a carousel. And it's really cute.
Oh, wow.
And it's like big and spacious. And they
yeah.
have like really like no smoking. She smoked anyway. Nobody
yeah.
said anything.
Really?
Nobody's going to stop this
that's
girl from smoking.
Yeah.
That's for sure. She
yeah.
can get her smoke on.
But you know what? I mean, as they make it harder and harder, I think it's just easier to quit, don't you think?
You know, I don't know. I'm not in your shoes, but I mean, what do you think? Is it helping you to quit?
No, not so far, but I mean, they're making it really hard. I mean, even on the street, it's getting hard to smoke. You know, people look at you and shit. But you know what? The thing is that obviously smokers are not the majority. I think now 1 in 5 people smoke in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's down from about 33% probably a decade or two ago.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you say to somebody like your kids? Do they smoke?
No, they don't smoke. But you know, that's what I'm saying, Kira. I mean, even when, like at my apartment building, I've been smelling that someone's been smoking in the hallways.
You can smell it?
Yeah, I can smell it. It's right near my door. And I'm like, why the hell can't they wait till they get outside? What the hell's their problem?
I don't like the smell.
And I wish I could catch them because I would let them have it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't believe in imposing it. I personally don't like the smell, like indoors and shit, you know, when
yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, you seem pretty level-headed about it. You understand.
Yeah,
yeah,
but most people are not, you know? So, like, for example, in a hotel room, I would never smoke in a hotel room. I mean, it's like, where does the smoke go? You know, so you have to live in it and breathe in it. So I guess now they're saying that almost all hotels have, like, smoke-free rooms. I mean, even when I check into a hotel, I want a non-smoking room. I don't want to have to smell all that shit. And then I go outside on the balcony to smoke, and nobody knows.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother
me. It was very interesting. The casino that we stayed at in Las Vegas, the Aria, like we've said, very nice, very spacious. It was probably, now, I didn't go to all the casinos. I just went to a handful of them. And, you know, just basically the ones around there. Out of all the ones I went to, it felt the cleanest.
Yes, it is.
It had the, they pump this, like, I don't think, they pump oxygen, right?
Right. But they, also that fragrance we were talking about,
there's a certain fragrance,
right?
A little bit of like a vanilla cinnamony or something like that, vanilla
right.
currant. I don't know what it is. But it's a slight, like, but it feels fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it cuts through and cleans out the smoke.
It does. It does.
Because like, I never felt like it was smoky in there.
I know. Even when you go in the casino and people do smoke.
Is it a
smoke-free? No, people smoked in there. I saw it.
Really?
Yeah. I saw people smoking in the casino. But like I told you before, I was amazed also that it doesn't really smell like smoke in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really nice casino. I would like to go back and stay at the Cosmopolitan, though.
Yeah?
That thing,
is that nice?
It's really swanky. It's fun. Yeah. It's young and fun, and it, like, had tons of cool things going on. I would definitely go back. In fact, what are we doing today? Let's see. No.
Yeah, let's go to Vegas.
Yeah, no. It was really nice, though.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't stayed at... I haven't been to a lot of different hotels, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I know, but, you know, I'm all for policy of, like, in enclosed places, no smoking, you know?
Yeah.
But for some people, even outside, you know, like when I was at the hotel in San Diego and I went outside and like somewhere where nobody was around
yeah.
me, I still felt like as people were walking by, they were being bothered by it, you know.
Oh.
So it's like almost like you're not enjoying it anymore, you know.
Mm.
So why even bother smoking? I got to stop, man.
Yeah, you seem more like a non-smoker than a smoker.
I think
it's time that you jump to our side of the team.
I know.
You seem way more like a non-smoker that has a bad habit. So why don't you just...
I do. I'm just hooked, man. That's the problem.
Have you tried the patch? Does it work? Or
no,
Nicorette
I
gum
it.
Or any of that stuff?
Haven't tried it. The thing is, I haven't made the decision. That's the problem.
You're right. That you have to make a decision.
You have to make the decision and the commitment.
Uh-huh.
No.
Well, I mean, for you, what if it was possibly you did like a bundle of things, you know, a commitment thing where you're like, every day I'm going to do something physical, you
right.
know, whether it's go to the gym, go on a walk or something. And then
right.
you get your Nicorette gum patch and the bracelet or whatever this it is, an IV, whatever you need. You're doing that and you're working out,
uh-huh.
you know, because you got to replace it with something.
Yeah.
Because that's
obviously
usually what happens. You have
yeah.
to replace it with something good.
Right. Like exercise.
Yeah. And that might really be a good thing.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like going.
No,
through,
absolutely. I mean, that's the way I will.
You'll get like the best shape of your life and you'll be like, I'm so freaking hot.
Uh-huh.
You know what happens
to
men
there.
In that age where they start working out and they quit some things and then they're like. Get a Corvette. You already kind of have almost a Corvette, so.
So you think that has to do with age?
No, I mean, but you know, all of it together, it's like like it's kind of a rebirth, right?
Yeah.
That time of your life, either.
Probably, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I got a smaller car is because I don't have my kids.
Yeah.
To take
what
everywhere
all
the time. What
did you guys have before? A BMW.
Yeah, I had a BMW before.
Was it SUV?
But, no.
Oh no. Okay.
No. But no, I mean, it was four doors. Now I have only two doors. It's very hard to put people in the back. So, yeah, I mean, maybe that has to do with age, the fact that the kids have grown up. But
yeah.
I don't feel that need to be youthful or anything.
I mean,
I still feel like that, you know?
Oh, okay.
Still feel youthful.
So you've never felt that kind of what they call the midlife crisis. You've never felt that need to, like, break out and do something crazy because you feel trapped or anything.
No, I don't feel trapped, no.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm grateful, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I have everything I want and things are going well. And,
yeah.
you know, yeah, why should I complain? You know?
Absolutely.
Although I always want more and more.
Well,
and
that's
like,
a human condition, right?
Yeah, it's like, is that all there is, you know? But
it's like that advertisement we have on our fridge. It says, inside every blonde, there's a blonde or blonde dying to get out. You know? It's like, when is it blonde enough, Kara? Oh my gosh, that's funny. That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing. But for you, you're now in your 50s, and
uh-huh.
you've never had that feeling of, I think maybe it's maybe more men that are aging and they feel trapped or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think it's that?
No, not only that, but I think, look, I mean, aging is not fun, okay?
You're right.
It's definitely not fun. And, you know, I mean, yeah, it's not, you don't have the same level of energy, you know, you don't look as good as you used to when you're young,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And, you know, so it does sometimes come up, you know, but for the most part, I'm pretty happy in my own skin today.
Well, I told you this guy that I was kind of seeing, right?
Right.
Who, he's 47.
Right.
Okay. Awesome shape. Works out, mm-hmm. like, He's a little bit too much in good shape.
Really?
Well, because there's a bit of it. There's a bit of the whole. You got to have like a sensuality about yourself. You can't be so stringent. It's not sexy to me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? When somebody's like, I got to go to the gym. I just gained a pound.
That's irritating.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, roll with life a bit. You don't have to be perfect. It's good to take care of your body, but it to me, it represents something else, too. It's not just a physical thing. It's like a very legalistic, very, like, stressful way to live. You know, it's not, you know, I think a balance is better. But anyway, he's in really great shape, and he's in his, you know, pushing 50, right? And he's like, you know, I'm in the best shape I've ever been in my whole life. He used to have a gut, and now he's got the six-pack or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, I feel the best I've ever felt in my life.
Really?
Yeah, he does have a touch of scoliosis, though. He can't help that.
Yeah.
And a bit of cerebral palsy, but whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means it's funny. I noticed when we were first met, I noticed that he looked like he dragged his leg a bit, like a little bit, slightly. And I said, hey, what's up with your leg? He's like, oh, I have scoliosis. I was like, oh, okay, sorry about that.
And does that come with age?
No, it's something that it's like you're born with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's, I think now they have different things to do to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a curvature of the spine.
Yeah.
It's slight. You wouldn't even notice it. I noticed it. But and then later on when we went on a date, he said, there's one more thing I got to tell you, though. And I was like, what? He goes, I do have a bit of cerebral palsy. All that means is that I can't move three toes, but I'm good.
Really? Wow.
So it really cracked me up.
Yeah.
And he wrote me the other day. He's like, you had me with, hey, what's up with your leg?
So he liked that you noticed it.
I think it's just I called him out. He thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And then I think we were chatting one time, and I said, something came up, and I said, oh, have you ever been in a fight?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yes, I'm actually a very good fighter. You'll be safe with me. I'm a very good fighter. He's like, so don't worry. I know
so
you asked.
He's going to protect you.
He's like, I will protect you. Did you ask that because of my leg? Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
tell
funny.
Him you don't need to be protected.
Well, I don't really know if we're going down that path anymore, but he's a really cool guy.
Mm.
But anyway, my point of bringing that up is this is a man that he feels great about his. I don't know if it's genetic or what. I know he works out like a crazy man, but he loves his body. He made
I mean, if you work out like crazy, then you're gonna get some great results.
Yeah, he's into it.
Yeah. Does he have any time to work, or is he busy on that all the time?
He works out. No, I'm just saying. he works all the time.
Yeah,
works all the time. I mean, I'm not with him all the time. I don't know what he does with his day.
Mm-hmm.
But cool person.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, but my whole thing is I think, I don't know, but I wonder if aging and looks have to do somewhat, obviously, with genetics and then the fact that you're just older.
Mm.
But then I also wonder if people just get tired and they don't want to do the maintenance as much.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
I think there's something genetic in it, too, though, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, some people are born with, you know, it's harder for them. And it's not just physical. I mean, some people find it hard to be happy all the time, you know.
Mm.
And for some people, it just comes easily.
Mm.
So it really depends. You know, I think a lot of things have to do with how you were born and your temperament and so forth. But, you know. So anyway, we're having problems in Libya now. I'm sure you've been hearing about that.
Of course, I've been listening to the news.
Yeah, following the news.
Okay, so what's going on?
So we have Muammar Gaddafi there, who is refusing to leave.
Oh shit, we got another.
Yeah, another revolution.
Oh my gosh.
And but this guy's no Mubarak, you know. He's not gonna leave until he's dead.
Mubarak already left.
Yeah, exactly. But you see, Mubarak is like they've had relationship with the West and stuff, so. So he felt a certain amount of pressure, I think. He was more aware that he didn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But with Gaddafi, it's like, you know, they live in this fantasy and they're not going to leave. He's not going to leave peacefully. So right now, I mean, there's a lot of violence going on, people being executed and shit. So they're saying there's massacres there all over the place.
In Libya?
Yeah, in Libya right now.
Who's massacring who?
The government. Is massacring the people that are demonstrating. And, of course, who gets dragged into all this? Whose fault is it? Israel, of course, right? Because, you see, with the Arabs, every time they have a problem, it's like it's always easy to go. It's like the go-to, the go-to victim there or the perpetrator. You know, so every time that the they don't know how to deal with their problems, it's like, oh, it's Israel, you know, inciting and stuff. Like, Israel has any influence there at all.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he's blaming the rest, the unrest on rats who are agents of foreign intelligence services. And
really?
Is that your phone?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's both vibrating and ringing.
It does that.
Yeah?
It's special.
Yeah.
It's a special thing.
Yeah. Is it important to have it outside your purse?
Is it outside my purse?
Yeah. It's okay. It stopped ringing. That's
well,
okay.
Well, I'm just having it,
recharged.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Yeah, you can keep it in your purse and do that too.
Okay.
But yeah. So he's vowing to die a martyr in his own country.
This is the leader?
Yeah. Now he's 68 years old. He's been in power for 42 years, and now his son is making speeches and making warnings There was a video I watched last night that's on YouTube, I guess, and it shows Libyan soldiers reportedly burned alive for not doing their duty, you know. So apparently they were executed, burned, and thrown in the street, you know. That's the kind of dictatorship you're dealing with, you know. I mean, this is no Egypt, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this country is like totally isolated.
Libya is?
Yeah, so they have no pressure to do anything right.
Wow, it is just catching on fire.
Yeah, I told you, man. I told you. You know, once it started
so
in Tunisia,
and then we have Egypt, and now Libya.
Yeah, and Yemen is not doing very well. Bahrain is not doing very well when it comes to that.
People have had it.
Yeah, people have had it for a long time. It's just that sometimes you just have to spark it, you know, and and then it's like all over the place. So
let people live. Yeah. What's this? I have to be in power. Who says I'm not going? I'll die a martyr in my country. Like, yeah. For what? Nobody wants you there.
No. Well, that's the point, is that they don't care. Because they seized their power through power and violence. You know, they're usually part of a previous revolution, maybe, or something like a military.
Yeah.
Coup, you know, and things
like
that.
It's like they just don't even look at it as the welfare of anyone else,
yeah,
other than their own dominion.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when you have dictators, they obviously don't get elected. They just take the position.
Yeah, it's a different... I mean, it's completely a different mentality. It's not even about people. It's like, this is mine. Don't take it from me. It's mine. And it's like, we're human lives.
Yeah. But I think he's going to stick around till the bitter end, you know, use airplanes. And I guess two pilots have defected from Libya.
Oh,
they
really?
They defected yesterday, yeah. So, you know, I mean, he's losing control. I just don't know
how long.
Yeah, and how many people are going to die before he's gone.
Oh, damn.
You know, and then, like I said, we got his son to deal with as well. So that's that. And Libya has been a dangerous country. You know, I mean, they're very militant and...
Is it a Muslim country or...?
I don't think they're... Yeah, I mean, it's a Muslim country.
But are they a theocracy or no?
Yeah. No. No, not a theocracy, no. Usually these dictators, they don't allow freedom of religion, you know.
They only
allow one religion or something, and, you know, just because people...
No, I mean, like, is it ruled by the Muslim law, or is it just... it's a Muslim country?
No, I don't think it's ruled by Muslim law.
Mm.
No. To my knowledge.
Mm.
So, yeah, he won't step down, man.
That sucks.
What are you going to do?
So I don't know about the geography. I'm about to look it up, of Libya. So you're saying it's surrounded by...
It's in northern Africa. It's next to Egypt and Algiers and all that shit.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you see, like by... just out of habit, I pulled out my phone to see who the hell's calling
me.
Yeah,
don't do that. You just yelled at me.
Because, yeah, I should keep my phone off my body, because when it rattles like this and vibrates, it distracts me.
Mm.
So another thing is, I guess, a couple of Americans on a yacht were captured by pirates near Somalia. And so apparently they were found dead this morning by a U.S. Navy ship. You know, so they still have those pirates out there, man. They're, you know, and these are like two innocent people, you know, taking trips around the world and stuff, you know, a husband and wife, I think. And so they were captured and killed.
Is this during, like, the middle of the ocean?
Yeah, I mean, but it's off the coast, you know. I mean, so it's not that far into the ocean. Usually it's off to the coast, so off the coast. So, you know, I mean, when those modern pirates, you know, they have automatic machine guns and shit like that. And you know, what are you going to do against them when you're unarmed and just in the middle of nowhere?
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's like a drive-by or some kind of...
Yeah, you see, that's why I don't want to travel to, like, exotic fucking places, man. You know, give me, like, Western countries. You know, I don't want to get involved in all this shit. I mean, everywhere you go, there's problems and violence and lawlessness, you know? All that area, why would you even fucking take your yacht there? You know, off the coast of Somalia.
Mm.
What do you have to do there, for crying out loud? You know?
Well, some people just really want to see the world, Sam. They want to explore. I mean, I do.
But would
I'm
you
not,
go to those places on your own yacht?
I'm not saying I'm going to go take my yacht to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I don't think there's water up there, is there?
There is, yeah.
Is there an ocean?
Oh, Afghanistan, no, I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
Or maybe there is. I don't know. I don't remember. It's like border with India.
I mean, I thought about going to entertain the troops, and that sounded exciting. Then it sounded, like, scary.
To entertain the troops?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, you should do that.
My friend did it. She got paid a lot of money, and she said you have to wear a metal, like this metal chain jacket, and you have to, you know, it's rough.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
Yeah. It is. You know, I mean, why would you want to do that?
Well, you're doing it to support, and you're doing it to kind of give back in the way that you know how to give back.
Yeah, but, you know,
but
you're,
then you're thinking,
no fucking soldier, you know?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know? That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how to run. That's about it.
You may not be able to run fast enough in those areas, man.
You know, and I'd be, you know what? I would wear a burqa there because I'm not going looking like this. I will have a huge red X on me soon, walking in blonde and everything else. Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
I'll wear a burqa, no problem.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, they've been talking about Egypt and stuff and how there's a lot of sexual harassment there and catcalling and,
among
and
what?
Groping among the people. You know, I mean, women they're saying like 85-90% of women said that they've been sexually harassed or groped.
Since when? Is this like been going on forever?
Yeah, that's the way it is. That's the way life is there. Did you hear about the CBS reporter that was attacked and sexually molested and shit?
What?
Right there in the street, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Last week. I forgot her name. But a CBS reporter... And she was with her crew there, but somehow they got separated. And, you know, so during the riot and shit. Can you imagine that?
During a riot, you have time to, like, you know.
Yeah, grope women and sexually molest them.
You have time to, like,
yeah,
do that?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, women are second-class citizen in those countries. You know, and people take the freedom to do.
Is it? I'm just asking. I mean, I always knew that there is, you know, major sexual dysfunctional issues, but I'm saying, has something happened as of recently because of the riots and stuff? But
no, I don't think so. You know, I mean, in fact, some women are saying they're surprised that there hasn't been more of it during the revolution. You know.
Mm.
Because you'd expect, you know, in big crowds and stuff, people would just do crazy things. But apparently,
yeah.
You know, so I don't know, you know, I mean, Egypt for the most part has been a peaceful revolution, and I don't see that happening in Libya. But at the same time, you have to remember, man, that it's still Arabic countries. They're like in the Stone Age in so many different ways. And, you know, and that's the way they behave toward their women.
It's crazy because they don't have any rights. It says that here, CNN opinion. It says Egypt's harassed women need their own revolution.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's one step at a time, but still.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm, that's crazy. And
yeah,
so the CBS reporter, she was just separated or she was just separated from her people?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And she was attacked in the street.
My gosh.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, obviously journalism in areas like this is very dangerous.
Mm.
And people put themselves on the line. If you remember in Lebanon, they were actually hijacking hijacking journalists and shit, you know, and holding them captive for a long time.
Mm.
Yeah. So now, so taking advantage of all this trouble is Iran, of course, and they're sending a couple of military ships through the Suez Canal.
Mm.
Now, the Suez Canal is a very strategic area because it lets you go from the Mediterranean, you know, like from Europe to Asia, without having to go all around Africa. So, so that canal has been in Egyptian possession for many years.
Okay.
Since the Iranian Revolution, they've not allowed Iranian ships to pass there. But now, I guess, without Mubarak, with the military in charge, suddenly it's okay for the Iranians to do that. So Israel is extremely worried and concerned about what's going to happen there. You know, because these people are just stirring the pot, creating trouble everywhere they can.
Mm.
And they're testing the waters. That's what they're doing, man. They're trying to see where Egypt is right now as far as its cold peace with Israel.
Mm.
So I know that's going to end soon. So much for the peace there. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it's never been a warm peace with Egypt, you know, but at least it stopped the fighting and, you know, and there's been some... I mean, some crazy Israelis would travel there. I mean, I don't know why you would, you know, the way they hate Jews so much. But tomorrow, by the way, we're going to have this guy who's an American Israeli, and he's written a book called Islamic Tsunami. And it's going to be pretty interesting. I know you're not into authors that much, but we'll talk about the Middle
East. No, he sounds interesting.
Because he and his family, his three-year-old son were victims of terrorism. They were shot at by, you know, when they were driving. So, yeah, he almost lost his son there. And I'm losing you, huh?
No, I'm sorry. No? I was reading this Laura Logan.
I'm losing you.
I just get so angry at sexual... hate it, like, against women and stuff. I'm just like, it fucking pisses me off so bad. It makes me so mad.
Yeah.
I just think it's just, it doesn't matter who it's against. It's wrong on any level. But I just think, like, you're not strong. You're not powerful. If you're going after somebody that physically cannot defend themselves against you.
You're a coward.
You're a fucking coward. Yeah. You know what I mean? It makes me so mad. It makes me so pissed. It makes me want to, like, fight bad. But I have high heels on right now. And a white dress is not going to happen.
But listen, most of history has seen women being second class, you know, and for a long time. And I think religion has helped that, if anything else, helped put women in a box and second class. Mm-hmm. And
I think the U.S., I think with, or not just U.S., I think that pornography treats women as second class. It treats them as objects, you know?
Yeah, but these are women that are paid, I mean, they're paid to do that and they
I'm not
do
saying that,
that
they're forced. It's a difference. Yeah. It's different, but it still is an object. It's like a dehumanizing of women. It's, they're not whole people. Like, you know, it's interesting is, you know, in our building that we work with, you know, upstairs is, a big porn company that does more marketing, right?
Right.
And packaging for products. Well, one day I ran into a bunch of them downstairs and I was here after hours and I was getting ready to leave. Mm-hmm. And they were fun guys and there was some flirty stuff going on and they were playful and everything. And they were like, something. Yeah, this is all porn because they're moving in new stuff. They're like, it's all porn. I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be impressed. Mm. Okay, good for you. Really? That's a winner statement.
They were trying to impress you, you think?
I don't know, but it didn't. But anyway, and then you know me, I can't keep my mouth shut. So I was like, so does that work with ladies? I mean, are they turned off? Or do they know this? And anyway, the guy was like, no. One guy's married and this. And I was like, okay, whatever. But we were chatting for a bit, and I could tell that... You can tell when someone's kind of disconnected. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is when, you know, people bring up the thing, that could be someone's sister or someone's mother or someone's daughter. And it's just almost a joke we say now. But that's what the statement people use to try to get men to have a real connection with women is that could be someone's sister, mother, or daughter. And I realized it today kind of why they say that is because you look at your sister or your daughter or your mother as a whole person because they're not really sexual to you.
Right.
You look at them as a whole human, not just this, and you make a human connection with them. Whereas when a woman is objectified, she's put into parts and she's put into just this kind of sex robot or whatever.
Right.
And I think indirectly that does treat women like a second class citizen because and it's not like this. It's not the same thing. It's not like they're enslaved to it or they obviously have a choice, you know. So it's not the same concept as what we're talking about. But the whole second class citizen thing, I think, happens here in just different ways where maybe women do it to themselves. You know what I mean? You know, being available in those ways or taking those kinds of jobs, or maybe I've done it to myself in some ways, not realizing it. But I think it's just kind of from the beginning of time. It's just like this, you know, they're not, it's a real struggle, I think, sometimes for men to see women as like equals, you know?
Well, maybe, you know, maybe watching too much porn is not good. But at the same time, I don't think it's the same thing.
It's not quite the same thing at all. I'm not trying to say the brutality element of it. It's not. But I'm just talking about how women can be seen as like they're not really a whole human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're an experience or whatever. But this is really just makes me want to go kick some major ass. Like, you know, you think in your head, like, I wish I had a flying cape and like firecracker guns. And I wish I had nunchucks. Uh-huh. Like, that's how I feel a lot of times.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
all the time. Like, I'm not angry, but sometimes you see something or you hear about something, and you're like, I want to bite someone.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, in many cultures, it's like that, and they go along with it. You know, I mean, the women figure, this is my place in society. That's what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to fight it, you know? Because think about it, you know, many of them don't know any different. You know, they're born and raised like that, and...
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do if it's a mob of men? This is, there's like 20 men.
Yeah.
And then like a bunch of, but it did say a bunch of women helped her and so did some of the army people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But regardless, you know. Plus, you know, I mean, in war zone, there's no rules, you know? I mean,
you know. It's crazy. It's madness. Don't you feel like the world's madness sometimes?
Yeah, there's a lot of madness.
Just madness. It's like, why are we doing this? What does it matter?
It's about power, Karen.
I know. I hate it. It's like, why does it even matter? I saw the most amazing movie last night. I do hope it gets it's already been recognized as an Oscar nominee, but I hope it wins. It's Javier Bardem is starring in the foreign film Beautiful, and it's just, it'll just punch you in the soul. It's so good.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just a great
film.
Not
that much into foreign films.
Well,
what is it, like a French film?
No, it's Spanish.
Spanish?
And takes place in Spain. Mm. But it deals with a lot of different cultural issues, and there's some overlapping storylines that, you know, are... You look at things from different people's point of view, and basically a father... And I'm not giving away the ending, but a father of two kids. He's estranged from his wife. She has... like a drug addiction, so she's in and out of the picture. Mm-hmm. He's trying to be a good dad. He's trying to provide for his kids, and he has cancer, and he hasn't let anyone know. So he's dying, and he's trying to basically put everything together before
he passes. How depressing, Kira. Why would you want to watch a movie like that?
It's I'm giving you like the synopsis, but it has such great messages, and it makes you really think about what really matters in life. I mean, life happens really quick.
Yeah.
It seems like you just... blink and you're on to the next decade in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes these kind of movies just make you stop and go, you know, what are you living for? What matters? Because it's all fast. Mm. It's all so fast.
Yeah.
And it's not just like he's dying the whole time. It's depressing. It's much more complicated. And
right.
But it's, you know, there's a lot of redemption with him and his wife and everyone, and you see these different storylines of people that you want to go, they're the bad guy, they're the bad guy, they're the bad guy. But then you start to see everyone else's situation and you feel for everyone. And I don't know, just those kind of movies, I think, make you stretch your heart.
Yeah, some people are into that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, this sounds like a drama for women or something.
No, but, it's not.
Yeah, were there any men in the audience?
Yeah. It's not like a chick flick. It's a good movie.
No, it sounds like it, though. I mean, not a chick flick in the way that we think, like a romantic
comedy.
You mean
more like an art film?
But it's a drama, you know, and...
Well, it's a really, good cinema, and it's got a great storyline, and there's a lot to it.
Mm. Okay, well,
it's just like going to see, it's like going to a museum or going to see art. It's maybe stretching yourself in a different way. You're like, okay, let me try to get into this. let me try to observe or take this in. And some films are like that. But this isn't that abstract or that existentialist. It's not that crazy, you know. But it's a good film.
I see. Okay, well, we'll keep that in mind. I'll probably never see it, but that's okay.
Well, it took you like how many settings of seatings of like 10-minute sessions for you to watch Inception?
Inception, yeah. And that's why I don't even remember half of the movie.
Mm.
And now with Salt, we also stopped in the middle and we didn't finish watching that. Because, you know, we're done. So, I mean, we're done with work late in the evening.
Oh, man.
And by then, you know, you're too tired to watch a whole fucking movie, you know.
Mm.
But it's not cool to watch movies in parts because you don't remember anything. You don't enjoy the experience. It's not like a book.
I know,
a book
just
you
like, you know, commit like 2 hours of your life.
I know.
If you're going to do it, maybe not every day, but...
The most I can commit is an hour, you know. We watched American Idol last night and the Hollywood Week. So, you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I haven't watched American Idol since the first season. So this is kind of like I wanted to stay on top of everything, see what's going on.
How are you liking American Idol?
And it's funny, you know. I mean, I just enjoy how funny it is. And, you know, with the new judges and stuff, I was telling Dean, I said, I'm not really missing Simon, you know.
Oh, really? Tell me about that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're great. I think they're doing very well. They have great chemistry. Steven Tyler is funny.
Is he really funny?
Yeah.
He seems like
very funny, yeah. And yeah, he always drools over the cute girls and stuff.
Okay.
Never mind, they could be his grandchildren. But
that's funny.
But nevertheless, you know, and sometimes he just starts singing.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Lopez is okay, I guess.
Really?
You know, she's fine, yeah.
Is she bringing
she's
any
okay.
kind of life to it, or...
I don't know if they, I think, look, the three of them seem okay, you know? I mean, it's not like...
And then is it Randy? Or who?
Yeah, Randy's there still, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's the best combination they've had since Simon left.
Yeah.
Or even while he was there, they brought, like, this other girl, too, right? What
Cara
was her name?
DeGuardi had my name, and it didn't look like a Cara to me.
No, and I don't know. And then they brought Ellen DeGeneres there, which... was a total flop.
Well,
you know?
She was kind of like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, exactly. You know, what the hell?
I love Ellen. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think she's very cool for going, you know what? Just really wasn't a fit.
Yeah.
Give it a try. I mean, she's hysterical. It's like you'd want her on anything. Any show you'd want to put Ellen on. Because she's going to bring so much life to it. But it doesn't necessarily fit the kind of show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, who wouldn't take Ellen on any TV show? I would.
Yeah.
Do you like Ellen?
I don't know.
No?
No, not really. Not really.
Yeah.
I don't find her funny. But look, I mean, I do respect
that she's
a star and, you know, that she can do well and so forth.
She's
not
so lighthearted,
people...
though. I think she's classy and she's got enough edge still. I think she's just really, you know, kind of, and she's super cute. She's just funny.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then on Letterman, they had Donald Rumsfeld on. Do you remember him?
Mm-mm.
He was in the Bush administration.
Okay, yeah.
And I could not stand him, and I still can't. I mean, this guy's the biggest liar.
Really?
The biggest crook. I mean, this is the guy that told us there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and that's why we had to go in there. And I feel that he's lied throughout his service.
Mm.
He just came out with a book, And it's very one-sided, obviously, you know.
Well, every book is, right? If it's your people
writing
it. Yeah,
I guess so, yeah. So, but I can't stand to look at the man, you know. He's just, you know, he looks like a crook to me.
What if you look like a crook, but you're not a crook?
What if?
I mean, what if you look like a total, you got the crook?
I don't think I look like a crook, okay? Someone would have told me by now. Because I'm not, you see, I'm not a crook.
Yeah, but maybe some people have that look about them, but they're not.
I'm not a crook.
You're like, I've got a bit of a thieving look, but it's not really my thing.
Really?
No, I'm just saying, you know. But I can tell the salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
Salespeople, totally, even if they're not salesy, let's say they're really good at it and they don't even come off salesy.
Right.
They still, which is a really good salesman, but... They still, I could still pick up on their energy and their vibe, and they want something.
Right.
And everybody wants something, but they want something, and
they're
going to get
badly.
You, and they're going to get you to want it too.
Yeah.
They're going to get you to want it too. And I think that's, you could tell, it kind of breeds a sense of, people that don't want something are very relaxed, or I'm not relaxed, but they don't have an agenda. Like
right.
If they're you buy it or you don't buy it, or you believe it or you don't believe it, they're cool with it.
Yeah.
There's no agenda there.
No, I mean, I think it's easy to figure out when someone's trying to sell you something. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, but the sales personality type,
they have
the sales personality type too, even if they're not selling, I could pick up on.
Yeah.
you know, oh, that's a salesman. Even if it's not over the top, just you could tell their persuasiveness and the way they act. And it's like that's their trade is, you know, getting
I think what you're seeing is phoniness, you know. That's what you're seeing. It's not the real person, you know.
Yeah. Man, I worked with some crazy salespeople back in Detroit. Oh,
really?
My gosh. I worked with this one manager. He was a sales manager, and he did some shady stuff. And
really?
I was new, and I knew I wasn't going to stick around long, so I just was doing my thing. And he was very funny, and I'd be like, look, they really can't afford it. He's like, they can afford it. I said, they don't have any money. They can't afford it. He goes, but they can get another bill, can't they? We can give them another bill. He's like, is this going to be credit or debit? Is it going to be credit or debit? He'd always say that, credit or debit.
Really?
It's no, okay, you're going to buy this. It's credit or debit.
Yeah.
Cheap and cheerful, credit or debit.
Foregone conclusion type of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what sales and marketing is all about, is figuring out how to transfer the money from your wallet to my wallet.
Listen, there's been people in sales or sales offices in different industries. Like I used to work with these people who worked at a timeshare, and they said that their manager, they had prepaid cards or they had credit cards that they had, that the company had in this office that would actually go ahead and put your initial down payment on their card. They pay it for you.
Really?
To get you to sign up and then tack it on to the end of your bill.
Right.
And then you'd pay out on it and it'd be financed. Just to get you to sign up.
Really?
Like you'd have no reason to not close that deal.
Wow.
And if they don't buy, it's always your fault.
Yeah.
And when you're on a winning streak or your closing streak and you're just your numbers are up, everybody's like, what are you doing? How are you doing? Everybody's, look at this person. Look at that person. Look at Kara. She's just this. I think her approach is this. Everybody should try this, right?
Right.
And then 2 weeks later, you're not on the closing streak and someone else is closing more.
Right.
They don't talk about you anymore. They talk about the new person closing.
Right, right.
And then
you're only as good as how much you sell.
Yeah, and then they're reprimanding you. But then 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, you're the highest closer. So it's kind of... It's kind of complete stupidity because most people, like our friend Craig, who's next door, he said, sales is just basically it's numbers, it's a number game, and it's cyclical, it's all in cycles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny to always chase who's the hot closer because it's not really what they're doing, it's the where they are in that place.
Yeah.
And so it's very funny.
I remember when I sold cars, I sold cars for a year.
I didn't know you sold cars.
Yeah, for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I was that
low. Were you good at it or no?
I was that desperate.
Dude, both my brothers made so much money.
Was I good? No, I was not good at it at all.
I bet you were like this. Hold on, were you like this?
For a year.
I bet you were like this. Oh, you go up to a car and somebody's like, oh, I need a salesperson. And Sam probably doesn't walk up to you right away. He's like, yeah, what do you need? I can help you out.
I would walk up to people, but, I wasn't very good. I mean, in the negotiation part, I would get mad sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's not a good thing to do, when you're trying to sell a car.
That's funny.
Yeah. But so when I was working there, they had, in the sales office, they had, a big board on the wall where they'd write each sale of each person, so you could compare. You could see who's selling a lot, who's not.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, there's nothing more to motivate you than to be on there and see that other people are doing well or better than you.
Yeah.
And
sales is very emotional. Very emotional.
And very competitive,
Yeah.
And that's how they try to motivate you and give you incentives and stuff, is to let you see how badly you're doing compared to other people.
Uh-huh.
And that's a motivator,
Yeah.
But I hated that, man, especially since I wasn't the star.
That's funny.
Yeah. But some people are very good at it.
Mm-hmm. My brother, both my brothers, but my the one closest to me in age, he is a great sales guy. He was 21 and was the top salesperson at his car place, and then he got advanced to finance manager. He got into finance and then became a finance manager. He made even way more money because he's making so much off it, the whole percentage of the sales of the dealership, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So my brother, I think, was 23 or 24 and was making $180,000 a year.
Really?
Can you believe that?
Yeah. You see, that's it. I mean, in sales, if you're good at it, you can make a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah. He lived I went to visit him 1 year. Here I am out here in L.A., and I'm, trying to put quarters together to put in my gas tank. And I go to visit my brother, and he's living in, these gorgeous corporate penthouse apartments in a place called the Woodlands in Houston, outside of Houston. And it's like gorgeous lakes and a golf course and then running trails and just concierge. It's like living in a hotel.
Wow.
And my brother's living in this two-bedroom penthouse type apartment.
Wow.
And it's just him. And he's blowing his money.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't have much to say about that because I've never been in that position. Who knows if I'd do it any better than him. But, man, I was like, here's my brother. My little brother who I beat up and stuff is living like this. I was like, Matt, you need to hook your sister up.
Yeah, there you go.
Hook your sister up. Remember, we're blood. Remember all those times I went to go beat you up, but I didn't fully beat you up? You need to write me a check right now. It's very funny to see your brother your little brother grow up. I guess it's kind of like having kids.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not my kid, but he's getting married and he just bought a house in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's different. You know, I mean, if you lived there, maybe you would be able to.
Oh, no, I would do it too. If I had that kind of life, you know, it's very accessible. It's not like here.
Yeah.
You know, here, you know, you're not even a homeowner. It's like people that are.
It's hard to own a home.
Being a homeowner in L.A. is like you made it.
Yeah.
Like you've made it big.
Sort of, you know, until you're upside down and you owe more than it's worth.
Yeah, well, no, that's true. That's true, absolutely.
So it's not yours until you pay off the whole thing.
That's true.
Anyway, thank you all for joining us. We're out of time, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Thank you.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.